We get equipped, just got to do this real quickly, by three things. Number one, by learning. 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a reason, a defense for the reason that is in you. And so there is an aspect of learning, and we're going to hopefully be doing. I know you all already do things here to learn, like apologetics and the things you've been doing, which is wonderful. But I think I'm going to have the privilege of being able to... be work with you, anybody that wants to come later in terms of the learning. The second way that we get equipped is by doing. It's by getting out there, by golly, and just doing it. And the third way is perseverance. We get out there and do it, and when we mess up or have a hard time or have a bad day, we go back out and do it again. That's how we get equipped. Now, having said all that, I want to now encourage you about being those who will be those who sow gospel seeds for the glory of God. And I want to tell you a little story here. In 1921, there was a missionary couple named David and Sevilla Flood. And they left from Sweden to go to the heart of Africa because they felt the call of God in their lives to do it. And they went to a place called the Belgian Congo, which later became known as Zaire, which currently is something like the Democratic Republic of the Congo, but people still refer to it as Zaire. They met with another Swedish couple named the Ericssons, and the four of them sought God for direction. They were very tender in the Lord. They were very devoted, and they felt God direct them to leave the main mission station and go into a remote area where there was a village. This was a huge step of faith. They did it, and they went to the village of Endolera. And they were hoping that the chief would let them come and live among the people, but the chief blocked them at the gate, as it were. He was afraid that they would offend the local gods. So they said, it's okay. They went up the hill half a mile, built their own mud huts, and they were full of zeal and full of hope for this reason. And that was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what motivated them. They prayed for spiritual breakthrough and had none. Absolutely none. The only contact they had with the villagers was one little boy who was allowed to go up the hill two times a week and sell them chickens and eggs. Now, Sevilla Flood was this 4'8" woman who was small on the outside but big on the inside. And you know what she determined inside? She determined, if there is only one African boy in this place that I get to tell about Jesus and Him crucified, then I'm going to tell him. And she preached the gospel to this young boy, and he responded, and he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they had no other encouragements. As a matter of fact, malaria struck one member of their little group after another. And in time, the Ericssons had enough. Can't handle this. We're going back to the main mission. They did. But David and Sevilla Flood decided to go it alone. They were going to stick in there because of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, Sevilla got pregnant and had very primitive surroundings. And you ladies, if you can only imagine living in a mud hut, no running water, little contact. And she went through her pregnancy. And the village chief had enough compassion to let a midwife go up and help her when it was time for the delivery. And she had a little girl named Aina. But the labor and delivery was long. It was exhausting. The malaria on top of it. Sevilla only lasted 17 more days, and she died. And when that happened, David Flood's insides just snapped. And that was it. He had given it all for God, and now this happened. It was more than he could handle. He buried his 27-year-old wife in a very simple grave. It's a white cross there down the mountain with his children. He gave the newborn Aina to the Ericssons. And he said, I'm going back to Sweden. I've given it all for God. and I can't take care of this baby. God has ruined my life. And he headed for the port and rejected God and his call. But God wasn't finished. Within 8 months, both the Erickson's died of malaria. And baby Aina was given to some American missionaries, and they changed her name to Aggie, and they took her back to the United States, where they stayed with her. They loved her. She grew up there. These missionaries gave up their missionary work and took on becoming a pastor. Aggie grew up, and she grew into a wonderful young woman of God. She attended a Bible college, met and married a young man named Dewey Hurst. Well, the Hursts had a very fruitful ministry. Aggie gave birth to two children. He became the president of a Christian college in the Seattle area. Now, in the Seattle area, there is some Scandinavian roots in that area. And Aggie became very intrigued about it because she knew that's what her roots were. So one day, a Swedish magazine appeared in her mailbox out of nowhere. She had no idea where it came from, and she couldn't read Swedish. But as she paged through this Swedish magazine, I'll lose it here, I'm sorry, just bear with me, okay? As she paged through this Swedish magazine, a picture stopped her cold in her tracks. It was a primitive setting, and in that picture was a grave with a white cross. And on the cross was the name Svea Flood. Well, she jumped in her car, and she went right to the college, and she found an instructor who could translate the article. What does it say? Tell me what it says. And he said, well, let me summarize. It's about a missionary couple who came to Indalera long ago. It's about the birth of a white baby, the death of a young mother, the one little African boy who had been led to Christ. And after the whites had left, how that boy had grown up and how he had persuaded the chief to let him build a school. And here's what it said. The boy won all the students in that school to Jesus Christ. And then the children led their parents to Jesus Christ. And the chief became a Christian. And the whole village became Christians. And there were 600 Christians in that one village, all because of the sacrifice of David and Svea Flood. And because they had determined to know one thing, Jesus Christ, Him crucified. But that's not all. For their 25th wedding anniversary, the college gave a gift to the Hursts, a vacation to Sweden. Aggie searched for her real dad when she was in Sweden, and she found him. She found stepbrothers and sisters. Her dad was an alcoholic. He had recently had a stroke. He was bitter, and there was one rule in his house: never mention the name of God. So she united with her half-brothers, sisters, and said, I want to see my dad. And they said, you can see him, but don't mention the name of God. He gets mad if you do that, and he can't handle that. And so Aggie was undaunted, and she went in to see her dad. And he was 73 years old, lying in a rumpled bed, liquor bottles everywhere. Papa, she said. He turned and saw her and began to cry because immediately he knew who she was. Aina, I never meant to give you away. It's all right, Papa. She replied, taking him gently in her arms, God took care of me. And as soon as she said God, he froze and stiffened. And he said, God forgot all of us. Our lives have been like this because of him. And he turned his face back to the wall. Aggie stroked his face undaunted and she said, Papa, I've got good news for you. A little story to tell you. You didn't go to Africa in vain. You didn't go in vain. Mama didn't die in vain. The little boy you won to the Lord grew up to win that whole village to Jesus Christ. The one seed you planted just kept growing and growing. You are called, my brothers and sisters, to plant seeds. That's what you're called to do. That's what I'm called to do. We don't know what's going to happen with those seeds, but we're called to plant them. Today, there are 600 African people serving the Lord because you were faithful to the call of God in your life. Papa, Jesus loves you. He has never hated you. Well, he turned back and looked in his daughter's eyes. His body relaxed and he began to talk. By the end of the afternoon, he had come back to the Lord and had dropped the resentment that he had had for all those decades. Well, over the next days, Aggie and her dad bonded, had precious moments. They returned to America, and David Flood went to be with Jesus within weeks of that time. But that wasn't all.